stories are told. Warrior hearts beating brave and bold. Small town pride in the air we breathe. The spirit of the game will never leave.
Fans here with us tonight at Shooter's Bar and Grill. Let's go, Warrior fans. Make some noise. All right. Well, we want to recognize, of course, our the rest of our Warriors Live show sponsors that make this happen for us, for Warrior fans every Wednesday night during the football season, which is coming to a close here in another couple of weeks. First of all, Pritchard's Forest City Auto Center and Chrysler of Forest City, FCIS, Shooter's Bar and Grill, and once again, our title sponsor, MBT Bank. And you're always welcome to come on down if you're nearby for a cold drink, great food, great fans, and lots of Warrior football. This Saturday, our Warriors return home for the final two games of the 2025 season at Bullstore Field, starting this week with the Briarcliff Chargers, who we've seen before. And before we get into that, we'll get into a summary of last week's bye week activities and what they've been doing this week, here with head coach Tyler Chapa.
Here we go.
Hey, Coach.
Running out of these Wednesdays with you.
I know. We just have two shows left, this one and next week, and yeah, then we're done for the 2025 season. So let's talk a little bit about what we did last week in the bye week. We covered it somewhat last Wednesday. So since last Wednesday to this Wednesday, you guys have been obviously practicing and preparing for the game here with the Chargers, but also you guys have been out on the road.
Yeah, and this was more of a junior college week for us. Last bye week, we hit a lot of our high schools in the Des Moines area and in Minnesota the first bye week, so we were able to get in front of some older players and you know, tell them what our vision for the program is and why it's going the way it is right now and what do we need and going forward and what we're looking for. So some of these guys, especially from these Minnesota JUCOs, they're gonna be seeing us play. They're coming to a couple game day visits and you know, trying to get some Ellsworth guys, some Iowa Central guys, Iowa Western, and so it's gonna be good. We're gonna have a lot of recruits at these last two games. I think we're sitting right around 23 at this one and pretty close to 30 for the last one. So these guys have done a great job this last stretch, and just, you know, we're very transparent with everything that we're going through as a program. We're not hiding from anything, and so I think that's been a big factor in why guys are still pretty excited about it.
Coach Bartis over there is pointing up in the air, saying there's more than that coming two games, which is good.
There might, yeah.
Good news to hear. Of course, he's the recruiting coordinator, and you know, you're talking about these JUCO teams from Minnesota. Is the JUCO season over?
I think so. I mean, some guys are in the playoffs, and you know, Coach Brummer's done a good job recruiting those guys. But you know, there's either one more week and then the playoffs, or some guys are still But they're in the playoffs right now, and so there's some good players all around the country that we've got our eyes on.
So when you go out and you're talking to these players from these JUCO teams, you mentioned what you're looking for. What are you looking for?
Yeah, we're looking for guys that aren't afraid of competition or adversity, because, you know, we've had a lot of adversity. And are you going to fold when things get tough, or are you going to be able to strap in and buckle down and say, you know, I'm not going to let any of the outside noise affect me. I'm going to do my job, and I'm going to keep getting better, and I'm going to be all about the team. That's the number one thing. I talked about it today at practice. You know, some guys maybe are looking for that me moment. Hey, look at me. Listen to me. Hear me. We're not too worried. And that moment is here and gone very quickly. But, you know, we're looking for the we moment. Where's that we moment? Because that, you know, the first GPAC win, that's going to last for a very long time. And so But you can't do that if guys are too worried about themselves. So these are some of the things that we've been hitting on all year long, and it's just hard when you don't have a bunch of guys that have played a lot of football together. We have four guys on our offensive side of the ball that played for us last year, and we've got more on defense, but you know, we're in, you know, two new playbooks, two new coordinators. There's a lot of things that go into this that, you know, obviously a lot of mistakes too, but there's a lot of factors that a lot of people don't really take into account. And so when we're talking to these guys, it's very, we're looking for unselfish football players.
Well, when you've got a lot of players coming back, and that's part of being a young team, but you've also, because you're going to see sayonara next week with senior day. It's the last game and it's a home game. And so you're going to say goodbye to some of the seniors that are going, but you've been playing a lot of guys that are, you know, time left and as far as playing is concerned. So how do you take that group of guys and say, well, we're bringing in X, Y, and Z. We needed X, Y, and Z. And so when do they come in? And particularly the JUCO players, they usually come in right away in January, but not all of them.
Not all of them, yeah. So a lot of the guys want to get their associate's degree to play in the NAI. You don't need it. That's kind of the thing that we come up against in the recruiting. You know, you want to go to your two-year college and get your associate's. And for the NCAA, you need that, but for us, you don't. And so that's kind of what, you know, we kind of recruit. That's our, you know, bump in the road. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that'll get their AA in December, and they're going to be looking for a home in the spring. And those are the guys we're really pushing for. And anytime you're getting a junior college guy, an older guy who's been trying to get his film and get out of there, you want him to come in the spring and see your brotherhood and your culture and learn the offense or the defense and just see how we operate as a program, because here it can't be all about you. It's got to be all about the team. Nobody's going to be bigger than the team, and I think we've shown that with, you know, over even my first year as the interim head coach, I dismissed some really good players because they just didn't align with my values as a human and what I believe in being a good person and all that stuff. And so, you know, this year we have way more of the good dudes, the good people. They're just inexperienced. Even if they're older, some of our older guys, this is their first year playing a huge role for us. And lack of experience and stuff like that. So excited about the class that we're going to put together and the guys that we're going to have coming back.
So when we take these guys, we put them all together in January and in recruiting, they understand all that. You're looking for a particular type of person, looking for that we moment. And so one of the things that we've talked about in various circles, and this could be interesting in the next 2 weeks, because, of course, we're going to play Briarcliff this Saturday, and we'll talk about that more towards the end of the show, what we're looking at on Saturday. But we had got Doan after that. We're looking for that GPAC win. It is going to come. Friends, it's going to come, and so we're excited for when that happens. And we're thinking maybe we ought to be starting the documentary right about now.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I was hoping that we were going to perform a little bit better against Dak West, but our guys have to know that when we're teaching them something and then we move on to the next thing, they can't forget what we just taught them. You have to be a master of what you just learned and be able to learn something else. And so that's kind of what the story of the Dak West game was. We were working more run-stopping stuff, coverage, you know, stuff, but then, you know, we worked tackling, but we shoot Buff. Coach Buff was there, and all we did on the bye week was tackle. And so, but you saw, like, we didn't, we emphasize it every single day, but we didn't, not like we did this bye week and we missed 44 tackles.
Yeah.
You can't miss 44 tackles and expect to win. You can't give up 5 touchdown passes and expect to win. You can't have 10 first downs and expect to win, have the ball for 22 minutes. I mean, there's all these things that go into you. We showed that we can be explosive, and we worked on being explosive, but now we have to convert the 3rd and 1 or the 3rd and 4. We have to sustain drives and get first downs, and you just have to keep talking about this stuff when guys are playing for you for the first time. And that's what we haven't given up. I'm preaching the same things that I've been preaching. It gets frustrating at times for everybody. We feel like we're teaching the same things over and over and maybe correcting some of the same mistakes, but that's where we are right now. And that's the team that I have, but I want to be the one to show everybody that all this hard work is going to pay off at some point. It'll click, and these guys will have success.
So you just, in part, described the college experience. I mean, you come in as a freshman, you know everything, and then until you find out after 2 weeks, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're a senior, the best expression of at least a liberal arts degree is that you know at least how much you don't know.
Right.
And so as it's the same thing with football. As you grow, whether you're starting as a freshman or a sophomore or a redshirt or whatever it happens to be, your experience level continues to grow. And we expect you to be able to compound that interest into something even greater.
Yeah, our return on investment shit, like the investment isn't your freshman year, your sophomore year. It's what are you going to be when you're a junior and a senior? And sometimes some guys have to play as a freshman. Are they perfect? No. And then they have to go play as a sophomore, and some guys go through a little bit of a sophomore slump because maybe we had them put on a ton of weight and they're not used to weighing what I had them at. Well, they will be, and it's mm-hmm. going to be good for them in the long run. So there's a lot of things that we did differently. We had a couple of our linebackers, our interior linebackers, up to 250 pounds, and they weren't. It wasn't fat. It was just I had them eating a lot, and we were lifting a lot,
mm-hmm.
and we were still, you know, taking care of their speed and agility stuff. But if you've never played football at 250 pounds, it's going to be pretty tough
yeah.
for you to feel confident moving around. And so, you know, these are things that I look at myself and say, you know, did I do a good enough job putting the last spring together? Did I do a good enough job putting the summer together? These guys have all followed my lead, which I'm very, very grateful for. But now it's just time. Our players have to be able to take a little bit of ownership and understand, hey, when we turn on the film, this is your mistake. This is why you made the mistake. This is the drill we do in practice to prevent this mistake, so let's take it a little bit more serious next time we do it. And I think our bye week was really, really good. We had good energy, and these first 2 days of practice of the Briarcliff week have been good. I mean, I called Tuesday Bloody Tuesday.
Okay.
And got that from Coach Day at Ohio State. They do a lot of live tackling stuff, and that's what we did. And in the past, I would have been afraid a little bit of guys getting hurt, but it was a fun day of practice. Everyone was, I could hear them talking about, man, that was a lot of team crossover periods that we just did. And yeah, you're only going to get better at football by playing actual football.
Absolutely. Coach Lou Holtz, when Notre Dame was significant, they had a lot of, they would say that on Monday he'd come in and he would say, never going to win this game.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, like, looking a little bit better. And then by the time he got to Thursday, like, this could work out. And then Friday, you know, this walkthrough or whatever they're having to do, they're like, all right, we've done everything we can do.
Our guys are locked in. And that's how, you know, it's weird, but that's how we felt. I feel like we've won every single Friday. Every time we go into a game on Saturday, we think we're going to win. And it's just as soon as something bad happens, do we fold or do we meet the adversity head on and say that we're going to keep moving forward, we're going to persevere through it? And I don't necessarily think that we've done that. And, mm-hmm. and so that just, I think it comes with experience and confidence and belief that you can win. And my message on Sunday to the team was, you have to believe you're going to win. And that has nothing to do with, oh, the team we're playing is bad.
Mm-hmm.
No, I believe that I can make the play, and I believe my brother next to me can make the play. And that's ultimately what football is. Everybody's got to do their job.
When you talk about recruiting, it reminds me of Tony Dungy, of course, as a coach, very successful with the Indianapolis Colts, and he's written several books. But the first one that he came out with, I can't remember the title, but I will tell you this. I'll never forget his discussion in that book about how he had any one of his staff would say, listen, this guy, I've got a character issue with this guy. And when it came to the draft, that assistant coach had the ability to, you know, kibosh that potential selection.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly how it is with college football. It's obviously not a draft, but you're out there and you're trying to get the right guys, trying to meet that requirement, your philosophy, your staff's philosophy, and that type of thing. He said in that chapter of the book that the few times that they were wrong about the character of a player more than made up for the many, many, many more times that they were right about the character of a player and they didn't select a person. So when it comes to recruiting, how is it that you work with your staff and just have that mindset of who are we looking for, what's a Waldorf Warrior, and how do we go out there and put this team together?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a process, and I always try to, you know, I want them to talk to the coach.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to try to get on the phone with the parents. I want them to talk to the recruit without the parents there, without the, and just see, is everything matching up? All right, coach said this. All right, well, coach might only see him for 2 hours a day. All right, so what are, maybe, you know, little Johnny's over here at, you know, practice, but we're talking to mom and dad. What are mom and dad saying about what they, what do they do for work? What did they have? Where did they grow up? What are they kind of teaching them? This is what we're going to be teaching them. Does that kind of align? And then, you know, we get to little Johnny and we ask, hey, man, like, What are your strengths and weaknesses? What do you want to improve on? What can you get better at? And if all these things align, man, that's a, hey, coach, this guy's going to be ready for an offer. Mm-hmm. We're going to get him on campus, get him to a game, and we're going to meet him in person. I get to sit down and chat with him. At some point, I will talk to every single recruit. I don't do it off the bat. You know, I've got my guys, but all these guys have a pool of guys they're working on, which is always tough with, in and of itself. But when they're ready for that offer, I get on the phone with them, or we give it to them in person. And you can really get a feel for somebody if you kind of check those three boxes. You talk to the coach, you talk to the parents, and you talk to him, and see if all these things are lining up.
Of course, the nice thing about recruiting the JUCO players is you can see what they've done against other JUCO players who may go different directions, so you have an idea of what their level of play might be, but it also gives you an idea of what their grades are. Of course, grades are why we're in college in the first place, so that helps out too. And you're talking about the GPAC and private schools, and how does that play into recruiting?
Well, and they have to know where are we in the GPAC. They have to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody coming in here thinking it's going to be a cakewalk.
Mm.
Because all my staff and myself, when we get on the phone, the very first thing we talk about is how hard it's going to be successful here, what we're going to have to do. Are you interested in doing that? And if the answer is like, well, you know, I don't know, we'll be cordial and maybe still recruit you.
Yeah.
But if the answer is like, yeah, that's actually what I'm really interested in, that's the guy we're going to pursue really, really hard.
Yep.
Because we've been through this 2 years in a row now. And I think maybe year one, you know, we just didn't have the personnel. And I feel like we did a good job recruiting, and we're still in the same boat. And I don't, you know, that we talk about culture. I don't know that the culture's there yet. I think we have well-behaved guys, and I think they hold each other accountable to a certain extent. They don't get in trouble. They do the right thing. But there's more to that. In a game, can you self-sustain the positivity without a coach having to lose his mind and say, how come it's so quiet on the sideline? And those are the things that, you know, we're asking, and we try to put it in there. You know, we try to paint the picture. Hey, when it's the third quarter and you're down by 20, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
How are you acting? And so those are some of the things that we're talking about with some of these guys too.
And of course, the downside, I suppose, of recruiting the JUCO players is that they've already got their experience a couple of years or a couple of seasons. We talked last week and I think a little bit the week before about just how do we make it so that, you know, you can, ideally you want to bring them in as a freshman and you can grow them up. Mm-hmm. They're a warrior from start to finish and all of that. But so how does that blend work?
Well, it's tough, right? Because you don't, some guys want to have the whole team full of JUCO guys. I just want it to be more of the playmakers, the guys that need to come in and feel an immediate role. And,
mm-hmm.
and they can bring some of those guys, the young guys under their wing, because the JUCO life it's hard. You know, it's you can have a brotherhood for sure there, but at the end of the day, everybody's kind of looking out for themselves, which that's kind of what it's for, to get your film and get the best offer you can. But also, like, when you come in and you have a brotherhood from start to finish, like, you got it pretty good. When you got a coach that cares about you, he's going to push you, but he loves you. When you have older teammates that have been through adversity, so they know what they're talking about, when they're like, hey, man, we don't do things like that. That these are all experiences that we try to have our leaders or our older guys lean on, so our young guys don't have to go through that process.
All right, one final question before we get into the next section here, but, like, what is the Warrior way, if there is such a thing? It's who we are, what we do, what you preach. What is the Warrior way that's out there, whether they're an incoming freshman from a high school or a JUCO candidate?
Yeah, and I, you know, we break it out on family all the time, and that's just what goes into that, right? On the field, we're going to play fast, physical, aggressive. We're going to be on time to everything. We're going to be a good teammate. Some of these things don't take any talent at all, but at the end of the day, we're going to take care of each other. We're going to love each other. If we have a team and everybody knows they genuinely care about me, or this guy really loves me, or coach really loves me, then when we get on them, it's not going to be like, oh, well, he hates me now.
Yeah.
No, so we want to be a family, and families will butt heads, but it's, can you get through those speed bumps and come out stronger on the other side?
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Coach. We're going to bring you back in a bit to chat about the plan for next this Saturday with the Chargers from Briarcliff, and we're going to talk to a couple of our coaches who are going to join me here with the Warriors live program, starting, of course, with our defensive coordinator, Tom Clary, right after these messages.
At MBT Bank, we understand that harvest time is the heart of the farming year. It's a season of hard work, pride, and perseverance. This is Darren Teal, Ag Loan Officer at MBT Bank in Forest City. As your trusted ag lending partner, MBT is here to support you every step of the way. We wish all of our local farmers a bountiful and safe harvest. Remember, we're just a call or visit away for all your financial needs. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Shooter Sports Bar and Grill is proud to host Warriors Live each Wednesday night during the football season. Come and see the show live while enjoying delicious hot wings, specialty burgers, tasty sandwiches and wraps, the best pizza in town, and a cold refreshment. Our kitchen is open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sunday, 11 to 8. Late night pizzas on Friday and Saturdays until 10 p.m. in the bar. Shooters, your home for Warriors Live Coaches Show. Go Warriors from Shooter Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerForestCity.com.
Welcome back here to Shooter's Bar and Grill for the Warriors live show, and brought to you by MBT Bank. Now I'm getting to sit here with the defensive coordinator, Tom Clary, and also the associate head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that mean?
It means I do all the stuff that Coach Chapa doesn't want to do.
You can put that microphone a little bit more in front of you so we can hear your beautiful words coming out there, DC. You say that again?
Something I get to do all the fun stuff Coach Chop doesn't want to do.
Oh, so the fun stuff? What's like what?
You know, helping Coach Bremer in the equipment room, going down, doing all the extra tasks, getting stuff lined up that he's too busy to worry about or even think about. So everything, nothing can go unseen when you're the associate head coach.
That is, nothing can go unseen.
Gotta
make you should
sure
have a t-shirt
right.
That says that. Nothing goes unseen.
Know somebody who can give me one? I'll
take it. I mean, we'll work that out. We can figure that out. I'm sure that the Gridiron Club can help out with something like that. I will tell you this, the defensive coordinator position, that's a fairly significant role on a football team. Half of what we do, and some people say that defense is how you win championships. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's as simple as if the other team can't score any points, you have a really good shot of winning.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so, well, that's true.
That's what it boils down to. But, you know, on a real level, I think that the defense should be the tone setter for the entire team. How we go is how everybody else goes.
Yeah.
Coach said it, fast, physical, aggressive is how we want to play as a whole unit. That's what his vision for our program is. So we should embody that. That's what defensive football is, you know, fast, physical, aggressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's his vision, that should be us, and that should be how we go and win football games. And sadly, we're not meeting that standard right now.
Not there yet, but we'll get there. We're going to play the Chargers on Saturday, the Briarcliff Chargers. They're coming out of Sioux City. We've seen them for several years. I'm going to ask some of these same questions of Coach Chapa when he gets back here. But look, they're 5-5 overall, 4-5 in the GPAC. And what's interesting is, you know, we've seen them. The five games they've lost all came from within the conference.
Yep.
They started, Morningside was their first loss. They got shut out by Dort, and they also got shut out by Northwestern. They got shut out by Midland, and before they put up 17 points against Concordia just last weekend. But otherwise, they've been shut out three times.
Yep.
How do you shut out a football team like the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that they want to attack the edges, and everything is kind of built off of that one concept. So their run game wants to attack the edges, and then they're going to boot off of that and try to beat you being lazy on the backside. So, those teams that you mentioned that beat them and held them to 0 points, they're really good football teams.
Sure.
And they're teams that just don't make mistakes. And when the other team makes a mistake, they capitalize on it. So, Coach Chapa said it, like, this is our first year running this playbook and having, you know, my vision of the defense kind of take hold and do everything. So those are the mistakes that you're going to come up with a young defense and a first year in the system defense. We're making mistakes still. They're capitalizing on it. And when the other team makes a mistake, we're just not comfortable enough yet to go and take advantage of that.
What are the mistakes when they watch our film? What are the mistakes that they're seeing that are consistent that they're counting on us to make?
Yeah, so, I mean, football coaches, you see little things like you're stepping with the defensive line. You step with the wrong foot when you should be doing, you know, you should slant this way, but you still step here and then go out. Like, that's a simple little mistake. As a safety, you're supposed to be our middle of the field player, and you're just over here keying on this really short route instead of doing your job back here. Like, those are the simple things that you miss. A linebacker misreading his guard pulling, and then I fly over the top instead of staying home. That's what that's how we lost to Hastings.
Yeah.
We just kept flying over the top instead of staying home and doing our job, trusting my buddy next to me to do his job. So,
yeah.
You know, those are the things that, you know, as a spectator, you guys see it, and it's like, holy crap, that's another really big play. But really, it's just one guy missing a very minor thing.
Yeah.
And we're just not good enough yet or fast enough yet to make that minor thing just a bad play for us instead of a huge play.
Now, I know you guys spend a lot of time in the weight room in the off season and during the season to some degree, but, you know, and you're gaining weight and you're getting stronger, and certainly we saw that. And there's an improvement. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I wonder if maybe, like, we invest in these little things here, just to do this, because it feels like we're always like within just a hand grab, and we'll grab like the tail of a jersey, or we'll get somebody, and when we do it, they get away, but other teams, and I'm obviously, you know, could be wrong, but it feels like they just hold on.
Yeah, they do. They do. I think our strength staff actually got buckets of rice in the weight room, so they're starting to do some of that stuff.
There you go.
But, you know, frankly, a lot of it is laziness, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, we should never be in positions where we have to go and make those types of tackles.
Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks ago against Stack West, that was I wanted to be so happy in that game. We were so physical.
Yeah,
we hit the crap out of them. That was our best game, just going and hitting people.
That was also your loudest game.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I apologize to everybody at home listening. But, you know, it's just one of those things. We hit people and we're there, but we're just too lazy to bring the rest of our body and our arms and grab stuff. So, I mean, like, you're spot on. We shouldn't be in the position to grab a shirt tail and be able to make that tackle. But when I go hit somebody, I should grab them and not let them go. And that's just honestly a lazy thing right now.
But you do see it when that does happen, when they hold on to the shirt tail, for example. They're holding on because they know that they're,
everyone,
like you said,
coming.
They're coming.
Yep.
They're coming.
Yep.
And that's the thing. So is there such a thing? Like, is this something that coaches deal with where, you know, it's like, I'm watching this film and I feel like, I'm not sure if you're making this play or trying to, like, are you making this attempt to, for film purposes, show that you were there and you did everything you possibly could except make the tackle?
Yeah.
But we wanted you to make the tackle.
Yep.
And it's like that, there's like a disconnect there. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're doing it almost for the film.
Yep.
It's like, I roll away.
Yep. Yeah, it's annoying.
You point that out?
Absolutely, we do. We track loafs. We call them loafs on a defense.
Loafs.
Lazy opportunities at the football.
Say that again.
Lazy opportunities at the football.
Lazy opportunities at the football.
So, you know, it's not perfect, but, know, we track those things. We track if you're being lazy. You
the
know,
T
Coach
is
Brummer,
silent.
The T is silent.
Yes, yeah.
You know, Coach Brummer's a stickler with it, with the defensive line. If they're getting blocked when the ball carrier should be getting tackled, that's a loaf.
Yeah, okay.
You know? So everyone else should be pursuing the ball. That's one of our pillars on the defense that we talk about, swarming, swarm, get to the ball, you know. And that's kind of our problem right now, is it's something that you don't want to say, is we have too many really nice kids.
Oh, okay.
You know, so like someone else is there making the tackle instead of just going hitting the crap out of them. We have too many nice kids.
All right.
Like, and you want good kids in your program. You want great men of character, and that's
yes.
what we have. But when you step between the white lines, you got to find that next level and that switch. And, you know, we have too many nice kids. We're just not there yet. We haven't figured out how to flip that switch on yet.
Well, that flipping the switch is exactly what we talked about. 26 years in the Army for me is like, if you're a man of character, the difference between a man of character and somebody else, the ability is not to be committing violence,
yeah.
but it is the ability to commit violence when I when I need
when
to.
When it's needed, yeah.
And when I need to, that I will win.
Yeah. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something. I mean, that's all part of like things that we talk about this week. You know, defensively, we talked about the book Extreme Ownership and Jocko Willink.
Oh, yeah, I know Jocko.
You know, so
he's a little too much of this for me,
yeah.
personally.
It's perfect. You,
know, you
need to just hit that button over there from a couple weeks
like,
ago.
Get that little monster button on there. I'm Jocko Willink. Yes, yeah. The old SEAL. Yeah, I've listened to a lot of his stuff. I can only take so much, but yeah.
His book is great.
It is, yeah, yeah, for sure. Extreme Leadership.
Extreme Ownership.
Ownership, yeah. Yeah, he takes responsibility for it. That's great that you're – what other books are you reading? Or sharing with the team.
There's a ton. John Gordon's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Energy Vampires, the Energy Bus, all that stuff.
Yeah.
The Coffee Bean.
The Energy Bus.
Yep.
I know that book.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Coffee Bean. Those are all great ones.
Yeah.
Chop Wood, Carry Water is a great one. Pound the Rock's a great one. So we're trying to do a lot of this and learn a lot of this stuff and kind of just impart wisdom in chunks with our guys when we have them on the defensive side. So hopefully this spring, you know, we can do larger book studies with some of these things.
That's good.
But, you know, just trying to teach as much about character and leadership and all that stuff as we can as much as we do football. Because that's the thing, you know, if we can get guys to understand when to flip the switch and when time comes, you're not going to beat me, have that mentality, you know, we got to train that in these kids because it just doesn't come natural anymore.
This Saturday got number 85. He's a junior, Steve Whiting. I don't know if it's Whiting or Whitting, but he's a 6'6 tight end.
Yep.
And he's formidable. And
yeah.
then you've also got some other fellas, number 19, number 30 on the ground, and probably some other folks like that. Who are you looking for this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, all those guys are great playmakers for him. That's who kind of the offense operates through. Their quarterback, number 17, he's kind of the true field general of the team. You know, when he wants to make checks, you see him out there doing all the NFL stuff, cannon plays and switching plays and making checks. Everything kind of rolls through him. 85 is a phenomenal athlete. He's a dude that if you just, you know, take a late step and get out of position in the pass game, he's going to box you
yeah.
out and you're never going to get there. You know, they even
used him last weekend as he threw a pass,
yep.
little
yep.
TD pass, I believe.
Yep. It was a little swing pass to the from the quarterback to him, and then he threw it to the quarterback. For
yeah.
Touchdown. So, yeah, it's all over the place. But
all right, so you did see that.
Yeah.
All right, you were watching.
I try to see most of what they do. You know, I'd probably get fired pretty quickly if I didn't.
Well, you're a Northwestern graduate, so you're a Red Raider. Every time we go over there, or they come here, which is now 2 years, you know.
Yep.
Well, how does that feel?
This year was really strange, honestly. That's also where I went to high school.
Yeah.
I'm in Orange City at MLC Floyd Valley. So that was my first time in the visitor locker room, first time on the visitor sideline. So it was, I don't know the right word, but it was a strange feeling. You
yeah.
know, walking around the field and the press box before the game, kind of getting set up. It was, you know, not emotional, but it was weird. It
yeah.
felt weird, but, you know, that was a great game. We had a lot of
yeah.
hope and pride
yeah.
and momentum going out of that game. You know, we felt really good defensively. You know, losing Chris that game kind of sucked. But,
yeah,
it's interesting. They're a great staff over there. They do a lot of the same stuff that I'm trying to do with our defense and that we're trying to do as a staff over here, I think, that they're a great blueprint to kind of learn from.
Got your family here. They're here every Wednesday night
yeah.
with us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah, my wife Angel's a preschool teacher in Garner. You got to give a big shout out to her. I'm not home very often.
Yeah, yeah.
Not home often, and she's got to deal with all three kids, and they're great kids. But, you know, at some point you start losing your mind a little bit. So we got Red over there.
Yeah.
He's a fifth grader this year, first year in the middle school. Porter, and then my daughter Blakely. So they keep us fairly busy.
They absolutely do, and you got a good-looking family.
Thank you. I appreciate
that.
Look,
it's hard.
They take after their mom.
If your kids are ugly, it's a hard road to hoe.
It is.
You've got good-looking kids, they're going to have a good life.
Yeah, they got a good shot at it.
That's a good shot. People think that they are in the wrong category or they're oppressed, but if you're not good-looking, that's the true oppression right there. Yeah,
that's true.
They won't have to deal with
that. It's hard to find the ladder.
Yeah, so you've got your goals for the defense figure. Out now, what are they this year? We got two games left, and what are they after that?
I mean, the things that we focus on, like I said, are swarming, being as violent as we can, doing our job all the time, and being relentless to the football. So those are the four things that we really built, our playbook around. It's what we build our practice plans around. So when you talked with Coach Chop about recruiting, that's what we're looking for in recruits as well, guys that fit that mold, fit that build that we want, guys that we don't have to necessarily say, hey, flip the switch on, like they just go do it. So those are the kind of the pillars of our defense that we're looking for all the time. Goal-wise, we just focus one play at a time.
Yep.
Everything 0-0. Obviously, you have the things where first down, you want to limit them in so many yards and all these things, and those take care of themselves. I try to follow the Matt Campbell principle of, like, trust the process. If you do everything right, yeah, you can boo at them. Come on now. At least say aloud.
Get some Hawkeye fans in here.
Got a lot of Hawkeye fans in here. But, just trusting that process and doing every little thing right. If you do every little thing right, then things are going to turn out well at the end. So you don't have to be so much goal-oriented, but here's what we do. This is what we're all about. This is what our playbook's about. Let's go do it.
All right, final question. Saturday is also our first responder input, our first responder recognition. So we got your input for that. What, talk about some first responders. You got any experience with first responders?
Not a ton. No, I mean, they're great. Love them all. Hats off to you guys. Thank you for what you do. It's a big, big piece of keeping communities like ours rolling is having volunteer first responders. So, hats off to all those guys. And, hopefully we can go out and do something, make them happy and make them proud of supporting us.
Absolutely. Well, Coach Tom Clary, the defensive coordinator, the associate head coach, glad you're here with us tonight, and we'll be back very shortly, and we're going to come back and talk to the offensive coordinator, the Don, Danny Donadio, very shortly, right after these messages.
At NBT Bank, we know that farming is more than just a job. It's a way of life. This is Jason Lubin, your Ag Loan Officer in Forest City. Whether it's harvest time or planning for next season, NBT Bank is your trusted partner in ag lending. We're here to support your needs with personalized financial solutions. Reach out today and let us cultivate success together. NBT Bank, member FDIC.
Where will you go?
With NBT Bank.
Where will you go?
With NBT.
Shooters is proud to be the host of Warriors Live each Wednesday night at 7 p.m. See Coach Chapa and find out more about the Waldorf Warriors team from pregame to postgame. With delicious sandwiches, appetizers, burgers, pizza, and more, we have something for every taste. Before or after the game and Wednesday nights, come cheer on the Warriors at Shooters Sports Bar and Grill.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerForestCity.com.
Welcome back here to Shooters Bar and Grill here for the Warriors Live Show, brought to you by MBT. And now I get to sit down here with the offensive coordinator, Danny the Don. Denadio. All right. Well, Coach, you are the offensive coordinator, and in the last game, boy, that was like, oh, that's what you've been doing. It was fun to watch. I mean, we've seen it throughout the season, but it really did kind of come to fruition having Chris back and kind of all those pieces back in play.
Yeah, you could definitely see a little bit of life from everybody, a little bit more energy throughout the week. And, you know, he was eager to get back on the field, obviously.
Yeah.
Made some little mistakes here and there. Hasn't played football in 2 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could definitely see the energy and the belief coming back to the guys. So it was good to see that.
Well, I mean, it helps with the first play in the first quarter and just 75-yard touchdown. That was exciting.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's
it didn't happen after that, but I mean, that first one, we were all like, there we go.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
I think that was the big message after that was, you know, enjoy that for 30 seconds and then, you know, get back down to ground level because it's not going to be like that the rest of the game.
Right.
We were all able to have success on that first play, like you said, which was awesome to see. Something we haven't done all year.
Yeah.
So, big shift there, but I think guys kind of had a little bit too much of a high from that.
Yeah.
It took a little while for us to get back down from
it. It was fun to see Tucker do that, and we talked about it last week in the show when, we knew in spring ball last year that we have a couple of running backs for sure that we brought in from JUCO.
Mm-hmm.
We got, and then to see Tucker be able to really get out there and what happens when he's out in the open field. That was exciting because it wasn't just that he was, you know, running with that and making it happen. He was also kind of his best blocker. His own, you know, he also had some significant blocks to get him to that point.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yep, 100%. Had, you know, the receivers on that play did a phenomenal job of blocking. They've done that, you know, pretty much all year, and they've been working their butts off to improve on that every day. And you could tell that they were fired up, which is awesome when a guy gets fired up from a block.
Yeah.
He's not getting the ball, but he's just as fired up for his teammate. And then you got guys that are going downfield, running full speed to make blocks downfield. But like you said, I think he did most of the work once he cleared that first level.
One of the things that plagues offenses, whether it's in high school football or the NFL and everything in between, is to go to the whistle, to maintain those blocks. Whether you're the O-line or one of the receivers that you're talking about, you're not getting the ball, it's going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
How do you coach that, and how's that been going in this week and, you know, week and a half of bye?
Yeah, I mean, that's something we've preached all year with them is to play through the whistle and to be super physical and to kind of be bullies out there as receivers in the blocking game and on the perimeter. And I think they took a little bit of personal pride from that, especially early on in the season when we were having so much trouble throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
We had to rely on our run game, and so those guys are a big part of being able to get those second level blocks, and especially in our, you know, in our outside perimeter game, they're pivotal in terms of us being able to have success there. So
yeah, you're not getting it. So now George, he's not coming back, right? He's out for the season. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So we're not going to see George. We're going to see number 7. We've seen him quite a bit, and he's done pretty well. So how do you find a ways to get him a little bit more open?
Yeah, I think, you know, not just for Luke, but guys like Angel, and we got some young guys all across the board in that receiver room that have had to step up.
Yep.
I mean, you know, a lot of inexperience, a lot of different things that they've learned over the course of their career that you have to kind of tweak and modify to get them into the situations that we need them to be in to be successful in the throw game, especially. You know, they've never been taught certain ways to do routes and to get in and out of them and how we're doing them. And I think that, you know, especially with getting Chris back, that's been pivotal in his communication with the receivers and like, hey, this is where I want you guys.
Yeah.
And that's been a big thing for them to develop throughout the course of the season.
Of course, we talked to Angel last week, but, you know, we mentioned was it on the podcast? I don't know. I forget sometimes, but like Chris throws hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like how Aaron Rodgers back in the day used to break all of his receivers' hands when he'd throw him the ball in practice.
Yeah.
You have to kind of tone it back, but I think that comes back to him being out for 2 months. He's just been so eager to throw the football and get back with his teammates, and he's toned it back a little bit since then. So that was in like the first week of just him really being able to throw the football. So the bye week has been great for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's been great for all of us just to kind of work out some of the kinks and get a little more chemistry and between the quarterback and the receivers, and they did a really good job. Going above and beyond when we're not even on the field and they're taking time to go out there and work on routes and timing and meeting as a group to go over film and stuff like that. So it's been really good to have him back as a leader in that room and really take charge of trying to get us in the right direction.
Yeah. Now, you're from California. You don't necessarily run a West Coast offense. They call you the Don. Of course, that's short for Donatio, but it has a little mafia feel to it. And
sure.
I think there's a little Donatio might have a little Italian background there. So if you were to describe the Don offense, what is the offense how would you describe our offense?
Well, simply put, we want to be balanced in both the run and the pass game, but we want to be more physical and dominate the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
We want to reestablish the line of scrimmage, so to speak, and that's something that I think was a big point of emphasis going into this offseason was we got to be better in the run game to open up the throw game.
Right.
I played receiver in college and my whole career, and so obviously a lot of people think that I want to air the ball out all the time. Which, don't get me wrong, I love to do that.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's creating balance and being able to sustain drives, something that we have not been overly successful with this year. We're working towards getting better at that, obviously. But I think being able to have simplicity within the offense but still create confusion for defenses.
Sure.
Right?
And you also like golfing.
Sure do.
You like golfing. So I'm not very good at golfing, but I will tell you this. It seems like there are some hard and fast, or they apparently are hard and fast rules in golf. Like when you are, say, 300 yards away and you're in this has never happened to me, but if you're in the fairway and then you're that far away, then you want to use your fairway woods, right?
Uh-huh.
But I'm not good at my fairway woods. So I've always been coached to say, well, just use your irons. And sometimes people use their irons and they're very successful, even though you've got all these other clubs in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So my tie into all of that is like, if our run game is there a hard and fast rule that you have to do three run plays or before you throw the ball or two run plays? Is there anything like if you're good with your irons and your irons are your pass game, can you just like right away just be like, I'm going to throw this ball and then be like, yeah, this keeps working.
Yeah. And I think. Yeah, that's a great correlation to that.
I did my best. I worked on it all afternoon.
There's no real rule to that. For me, it's, you know, what are our guys doing well at, and then what are they giving us defensively? You know, I think regardless of what the defense is that they give us, I think we have options within our run and our pass game that can make us right.
Yeah.
So if we're running the ball really well, we need to stay with the run until they can stop it.
Yeah.
And I think the only way you're able to do that is having complementary football.
Mm-hmm.
If you're able to run the ball and throw the ball, now you can kind of do whatever you want to do within those two realms. And whatever they're doing well at, you got to stick with that.
Right.
So if we're throwing the ball well, I would love to stick with that because that's something that our guys have been waiting for and something that we've been lacking over the course of the season. So if we're able to get that going, I'd love to keep that rolling. So,
well, that seems to kind of sum up some of your philosophy. Tell us a little bit about your background and I mean, if there's anything you want to add to your philosophy, let us know.
I think football wise, you know, I had some really good coaches in my college career that showed you more than just what the X's and O's were, right? All I knew going into playing college ball was how to play receiver.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all I knew. I didn't know much about the run game, didn't know much about the ins and outs of quarterback and all that kind of stuff. I just knew what I knew. And I think, you know, the coaching staff that I had, especially my offensive coordinator, who was also my position coach, did a phenomenal job of, you know, kind of opening my eyes to the sport as a whole. And, I mean, ultimately that's why I got into coaching, was because of the things that they did for me, and the things they did for my career and giving me an opportunity and stuff like that. And that's, you know, that's a big reason why I do what I do, is because of them. And a lot of that ties in with the things that I do offensively, have a lot of the same, I guess, feel of what I got from my college coaches, along with people that I've met along the way. So I think, you know, a lot of that is the influence from them, just kind of getting me into the understanding of football as a whole. So.
Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, work very close, obviously, to make the whole game come together as a team. And when you're back at home, are you the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator when it comes with Sydney?
I just do what I'm told. I think I'm going to play it safe on that one.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. That sounds more like a defensive coordinator, to be honest with you.
Head coach, I guess.
Of course, your wife, Sydney, is heading the YMCA here in Forest City. She loves dogs. You must, too.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. How many dogs you got?
We got three dogs and a cat.
Three dogs and a cat.
Yeah.
And they all get along.
Yeah, they all live in the same room, so they better get along.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we asked this, you know, with Tom, the goals for the, now in your case, for the offense?
Yeah, I think kind of going back to what we were talking about before, just being able to find a level of consistency within the offense, and then being able to play complementary football. You know, that's something that we have not done all year, and I think that now that we're relatively healthy all across the board, I think, there, you know, like we talked about it during the bye week and this week a little bit, there's no excuse now.
Yeah.
It's full throttle for these guys. We preach about our themes of the week, and our daily themes, and our theme for the next 2 weeks is just to finish the right way. Finish the way that we had planned in the beginning of the season to start the season, and that's being fast, being physical, moving the line of scrimmage, playing complementary football, and putting points on the board.
Perfect. Well, our theme for this weekend, of course, is the first responders, and we're going to let all our first responders into the game for free on Saturday at Bullstore Field. Coach, thanks for coming by. I know you're here every Wednesday night with us, obviously there on the field wherever we are on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's great to have the Don with us here, and we'll be back in just a short moment with head coach Tyler Choppa to talk about Briarcliff briefly as we come back after these messages. Let's go.
All right. At MBT Bank, we understand that harvest time is the heart of the farming year. This is Kent Thoe, Clear Lake Market President and Ag Commercial Loan Officer in Clear Lake. Whether you're in the field today or planning for tomorrow, MBT Bank is your trusted partner in ag lending. We're committed to helping you grow with personalized financial solutions. From harvest to planting next season, we're here to cultivate success together. We're just a call or visit away for all of your financial needs. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerForestCity.com.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Shooter Sports Bar and Grill is proud to host Warriors Live each Wednesday night during the football season. Come and see the show live while enjoying delicious hot wings, specialty burgers, tasty sandwiches and wraps, the best pizza in town, and a cold refreshment. Our kitchen is open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sunday, 11 to 8. Late night pizzas on Friday and Saturdays until 10 p.m. in the bar. Shooters, your home for Warriors Live Coaches Show. Go Warriors from Shooter Sports Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Welcome back here to Warriors Live here at Shooter's Bar and Grill, brought to you by MBT. Coach, welcome back. We have two games left on the season, and they're both at home. It'll be Briarcliff this week and then Doan next. Chargers are 5-5 overall. We talked with your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator. We kind of got the insight from them. We know that they've been shut out a few times, got that figured out. We've seen that they've won some games. They've won four in the GPAC. And so they've got their, you know, we've talked about their quarterback, their receivers, their running backs to some degree. And even on defense, we see number 3 and number 35 in the stats quite often. And, of course, there's a lot more. Let's talk a little bit about what it means that this is also on Saturday. This is actually their last game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're going to play hard. And you know, coach over there has done a really good job. I think they started 4-0 or 3-0 for the first time in school history. They're fighting for a winning season right now. They're at 500. And so,
I don't know if they were 4-0. They definitely had a good start. They played St. Ambrose. Hot. They did. They came in. They had three in a row that they won.
Yeah.
And that was in conference. Yeah.
Yes, they started really, really hot. And they're a team that they're gritty, man. And coach has done a great job. He's, I think, in his sixth or seventh year over there. And they're putting it all together. Great quarterback, great defensive line, I think. So if you have those two pieces flowing for you, you're going to be good. And on a weekend like we're going to face, it's going to be cold and maybe a little bit snowy.
Yeah, it's going to be rainy
and windy, so it's going to be
snowy. Come on.
Well, sleety maybe. And so who's going to be able to run the football? Who's going to make the least amount of mistakes? That's going to be the team that's going to win the game.
You're talking about head coach Shane Ladeghi took the helm actually for the Chargers in 2020. Seen Briarcliff on our schedule for many years, non-conference and otherwise, and we've had a pretty good history with them, except last year didn't work out the way we wanted it to. Thought we had it. What do you know about coach and his staff?
Yeah, he's a player's coach, but he's also kind of a no-nonsense guy. He's trying to build a culture over there, and they're in the same town as Morningside. That can't be easy, and he's been able to recruit really, really well and keep some of the same staff members year after year. They've got some good camaraderie, and he's coached at the D2 level, so he's an experienced guy, and I'm excited to compete with him. We've been pretty good friends with him, but also, you know, this is what this industry is. This is what this life is, and it's going to be fun this weekend.
Well, looking forward to it. Of course, Saturday is First Responder Day at Bolstor Field. All the first responders, once again, get in free to the game. Coach, tell us about our first responders and Waldorf University's appreciation for
them. You know, my dad was a cop in the Air Force. Yeah. My parents were military, so I got all the respect and love in the world, and there's a lot of people that run towards the danger, and there's some people that run away from it, and so I got nothing but respect for those folks.
Fantastic. Well, Coach, we had to keep it short, but we had an opportunity to talk to your OC and your DC tonight. That's going to be what it is. We're going to come back after these messages and wrap up the show. See you in a bit.
At MBT Bank, we understand that harvest time is the heart of the farming year. It's a season of hard work, pride, and perseverance. This is Darren Teal, Ag Loan Officer at MBT Bank in Forest City. As your trusted ag lending partner, MBT is here to support you every step of the way. We wish all of our local farmers a bountiful and safe harvest. Remember, we're just a call or visit away for all your financial needs. MBT Bank, member FDIC.
FCIS Insurance of Forest City is your locally owned and operated independent insurance agency. FCIS is proud to support the Waldorf Warrior football team along with our local high school athletes. We look forward to watching your success on the field and in the gym. When you need a team to support yours, look to the professionals at FCIS Insurance. We carry all lines of insurance from home to life, car to health, RV, and everything in between. See us today at FCISinsurance.com or call us at 641-585-2925. FCIS Insurance Services of Forest City.
Hello, this is Leah at Shooter's Sports Bar and Grill. With football season back in full swing, don't forget to stop by after the games on Friday and Saturdays for our late night pizzas from 9 to 10 p.m. here at Shooter's Sports Bar and Grill.
Hi, this is Ryan Harvey, the sales manager at Chrysler of Forest City. Now is a great time to have your vehicle looked over before you hit the open road with our highly trained staff here at Chrysler of Forest City. Or, if you are looking for your next vehicle, stop in and see our experienced sales staff. Our inventory changes daily, so swing by often and see what's new on the lot, or visit our website at ChryslerForestCity.com.
Forever and ever.
right, welcome back here to Warriors Live here at Shooter's Bar and Grill as we wrap up. Look, I just got back from Nashville, went to the Grand Ole Opry. I guess I just blew my audition for the Grand Ole Opry. That's a live radio show. We're just a little bit over time, and I was thinking I was going to be. We've always been so good about being on time. Now we're over. I just want to say thanks once again to our title sponsor, MBT, Manufacturers Bank and Trust, Shooter's Bar and Grill, FCIS, that's Farm and City Insurance Services, and Pritchard's Forest City Auto Center, Chrysler of Forest City. I want to say thanks, of course, to Mel back at the station, Josiah Cleveland right here. He's on the camera and sound, and all the folks that are here tonight here at Shooter's Bar and Grill. You can join the Gridiron Club if you want. We'd love to have you, but we especially want to see you on Saturday at Bolstor Field. Kickoff is at 1 p.m., the Warrior Walk 10:30, Coach.
Yes, sir.
There it is. It's the first responder day, as we said before. They get in free, and so they can do their job. We're thankful for that, so we can keep doing our job, which, of course, is supporting the best small college football experience in America. And forever and always, go Warriors.
Your home for great sports, both Forest City and Iowa State, is KIOW Forest City, a Koloff media station.